the story of the Philippian jailer, as you know. He was given charge to put Paul and Silas in the deepest part of the jail, in the deepest part of the dungeons, the lowest part where the sewage would run through, to make sure that he kept them there. They had been out stirring up the people. They were preaching the free grace of Jesus Christ. And the religious men of that day didn't like that at all, because people were starting to stop the ceremonial stuff that these religious men had built up. The waving of the smoke, dipping into the holy water, whatever rituals they might have been doing, observing the Sabbath, getting baptized, whatever rituals you can think of the religious people do. The people were leaving those rituals and going to hear the true gospel being preached from men like John the Baptist, Paul and Silas, Peter, John, Matthew. And the religious men didn't like that. So they went to the ruler of the time and said, throw these men into prison for us. And the jailer, that night, there was singing and praising to our Lord and Savior in the bottom of the jail there. And there was a great earthquake. Such an earthquake that even the shackles fell off the hands of the men. The doors became wide open. And this jailer, who was given that very responsibility to keep them in jail, thought, oh, they had to be gone. And he went and he almost killed himself. He was about to commit suicide. And Paul and Silas hollered out, no, we're still here. We're still here. And the jailer's like, whoa, wait a minute. Wow, they're still here. What in the world? Because if it would have been me, I'd have been out of there, gone. Look there, the door's open. I'm out of here and gone. That night, these two men were used by God to preach the gospel to the Philippian jailer. Could you imagine the questions that man had? He'd never heard the gospel preached before. What do you mean? Who is this Jesus you're talking about? Who is this? Okay, I heard about him. Yeah, I don't know much about him though. What a wonderful thing you're saying about him. He's sovereign. He rules over everything? Wow. This Jesus, he could be called God, huh? He made all these things happen? He could be called. And he, what's this part about the fact that he loves a people so much that he laid down his own life? Could you imagine having to ask those very questions? I remember coming to Pastor Gene and Steve Doyle, dressed in my leathers, getting off the Harley, coming in here, and I was all dressed in leathers even, and say, what in the world is going on? Why is it that I feel like I just got to come back here every Sunday and hear about this Jesus you're talking about? I remember the questions that were going through my mind, and I would have them, they would come up in my mind, and the Lord would just answer him through Gene and his preaching. And then by the end of the message, I can't tell you how many times this happened in Bible study Friday nights. We get around at the end of the Bible study with Gene Harmon on Friday nights. And how many of you know this? I'm sure you'll back me up on this. How many times do we sit there and say, you know what, Pastor, we don't have any questions because you've answered them all already? Well, that's what the Lord did to me. Sitting here in this pew, hearing the gospel preached, I would come up with questions. I can imagine that jailer having the same questions. And I got to thinking about this. That jailer, he was like a little baby. He was hearing something for the first time, and it was good. It was good stuff. I got to have more of that. Think about that baby who comes from his mother's womb. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how the Lord has made so many things go together, work together? We get rain. It's produced from the oceans out here in the sea. And the clouds come up here under the coast, and they dump snow in the mountains, and they dump enough snow sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes enough to keep the valleys full of water. Our God created all that. Isn't that awesome? The same God that created all that we can see created these very bodies that we have. We put stuff in the mouth, and it nourishes this body and keeps this body going. It gives it energy to keep going. No man could have ever thought of anything like that. Only the wisdom of God could have come up with such a magnificent creation. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the Epistle of Peter, chapter 2, please. Have you ever taken a moment to consider those things, the wonders of God's creation? The lands, the seas, the elements, the rule of natural things, rain, sun, wind, snow. All these things that a great and wise God created going together to supply what man needs. But we can go a step further. Consider the wonder of these bodies that our Lord has given us. Eyes to see. Imagine what it would be to be blind and not be able to see anything. Well, it's funny, I can't imagine that now. Now that I see I was blind. Ears to hear. Imagine what it must be for those who suffer deafness. That's funny. I can imagine that now, knowing that once I couldn't hear. A nose to smell, etc., etc. What a wonder. What a wonder of His great wisdom. My thoughts are drawn to these words in 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. My subject this morning is sincere milk. Consider for a moment the picture our Lord has given us in these words. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We take this into consideration. A child is born in such weakness, undeveloped. Everything is just getting started. To those of us who are familiar with small engines like Harley Davidson's, sorry. As we picture this babe, this newborn who's come into the world, it's what we would call break-in time. You see, a motorcycle must be broke in. When you buy a brand new motorcycle with the motor, they don't take it like a car and run it through and do all that stuff. No, they put it all together, put it in a box, and send it out. So they tell you, you've got to go out and do it a certain way. You don't want to just get on the motorcycle and run down the road with it, because it'll destroy the motor. The motor won't last very long. It's got to get broke in. You got to get it heated up. The metal's got to get hot and then cooled off in certain ways. They tell you to go out and ride for the first 500 miles by riding at this RPM, then riding at a different one, just to get the motor to be broke in, to get the small engine to perform at its best at high RPM conditions. Folks, these bodies also have what's called a break-in period time. You don't come out of the mother's room running, do you? No. Our nutrition is also important. The stomach must be developed. The digestive system must be tuned to accept the things that we will use as fuel as we get older and as we grow. What a creation. This nutritional fluid called milk. Mothers will understand this, I'm sure, probably way better than fathers. This milk God designed, it was designed by the one of all wisdom to grow a newborn into a healthy living child. All the needs that the body requires is in this one element of milk that comes from his mother. Yet it's gentle. It's sensitive. The newborn organs can accept it and be nourished by it. Isn't that amazing? Something so simple as milk can be so wonderful to the growing child. And here our great God gives you and I a picture of his word as the nutrition needed to the souls of men. Matthew 11:29, our Lord says this, "Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Sincere milk of his word. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. The gospel of Christ, the good news for sinners, is like milk to a newborn. It's warm to the taste. It fills our bellies. Our cup runneth over. And it provides all that we need to be sustained as we go through this life. Our walk through this life is clouded by the flesh and drained by sin, bringing us to our Lord for nourishment. As newborn children, we are drawn to the mother's milk of life. We are drawn to the word of life, the word of God. In Romans 10:17, we read this, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Let's consider this word desire for just a moment. It means to have a need. It literally means to lust after. It means to burn within. In Luke 24:32, two men on the road from Emmaus had been taught by God, taught by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the things of Scripture concerning himself. And afterwards, after the Lord had left them, after they had supper with him, they were together and they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us?" That's that word lust. That's that word desire. Did not our heart desire, burn, lust after the word of God that we just heard? While he opened to us, what? What did he open? The Scriptures. The Word of God. As newborn children must have milk to nourish their bodies, we must have the Word of our Savior to nourish our souls. Notice what it says in verse 3. "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Have you tasted? Have you tasted the grace of God? Has he come to a broken and contrite heart, one who sees their sin for what it is, sees what we have in the flesh, how it must be burned up in the end, how it cannot be in the presence of God, for he is a holy God? When our Lord has taught us, taught his children of the sin that is in us, and shows us his mercy and grace, we have tasted it as though it is ours. In Matthew 11:25, our Lord says, and at that time Jesus answered, and he says, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." Oh, I can imagine that man who was just about to take his own life a moment ago, sitting at the feet of Jesus, washing his feet, as scripture tells it, feeding the Lord Jesus meat, saying, "Tell me more. Tell me more." Because that's the way John was when I heard the gospel preached. Tell me more. And here, this is John today. I love to hear other men preach. This new thing that we have in today's world of sermon audio is just so wonderful to me. I drive around all day listening to people preach. It's great. I love it today as much as I did 20 years ago when the Lord called me out of darkness. Today's no different. I love to hear about my Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He's done for me. Today, it's still milk. It still nourishes me. It still keeps me growing. And it keeps me. It keeps me from death. I look into my Lord's Word and I see the love my Savior has for me, and it keeps me reminding me that my God will not let me go. Our Lord loves us so much He laid down His life. He shed His own blood for us. And as God, He will have us. And I'm thankful for that. Remembering a time when I shook my fist and said, "This man shall not rule over me." In Luke 1, verse 53, it says, "He hath filled the hungry with good things." Are you hungry? Do you thirst? Look over at verse 1 of chapter 2 where it says, "Wherefore?" This is to point us to what was just said before. So let's go back now to chapter 1, verse 1 of this epistle, and may God be pleased to fill us with His Word. Chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ sent out to speak to the strangers. Not strangers as far as strangers who are just passing through the land, but strangers who have been spread out through other lands. They were spread out through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, the people of God. God's people is what that strangers is referring to. Those who are spread out throughout the world. And it continues to speak to God's people throughout time. He speaks to you and I right now, the called, God's chosen people. Right now through His Word. An apostle who was made an apostle by Jesus Christ. Not something Peter decided to do of his own. Peter was a fisherman down by the seaside. The Lord walked by and He says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," didn't He? And the power of God was used, and Peter came. Just as each of us have come to our Lord and Savior, because our Lord called us with a personal calling. Elect, He says. This is the people He's addressing. The strangers, the people of God, chosen, called by God according to the foreknowledge, according to the knowledge that God had before time, before anything was ever created, proving that God chose a people in His Son before the world was, and that's why we call His Son the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification, through the setting aside, through the making holy of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Peter is addressing God's people, Israel, the called, They were scattered about throughout much trials they were going through, just as it is today. Robert Hawker wrote this. He says, "Reader, I often read this precious verse. The more my soul becomes impressed with the sublime truths contained in it. Was there ever a form of words chosen or can be chosen to express the plainest and most palpable truths by than is here used, both to show and manifest the existence of three distinct personalities of the Godhead, and they were their distinct office characters, as revealed to the Church of God in Christ? What can more fully prove the joint operation of the Holy Three in One by way of defining their distinct personality, and at the same time, what more fully show their oneness in all the essential nature and design and in their merciful tendencies towards the church?" End of quote. We see Peter's address to the elect as an address to you and I, the called out, the church assembly. Peter goes about declaring God the Father, of who knew us before time was, chosen in God the Father, then being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, made holy. How? By the obedience of the sprinkling of blood, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the great three in one. Here's the gospel declared right out front. He says, "Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." Why? Because of the foreknowledge of God the Father. Knowing that our Lord chose us before the world began. Knowing that. And I'm not talking about just a head knowledge of it. I'm talking about a heart knowledge. Do we not go into trials that we have in this world with the knowledge that God has prepared this for me already? Do we not accept the trials that we face in this life knowing that all things are for our good because God the Father has chosen us before the world began? How often have I said to you, the whole world was created for us. And it was. And everything in it. So that God the Father, through God the Spirit, would make us holy. Holy because God the Son shed His blood for us. Why is grace unto you and peace be multiplied? Because God the Father had foreknowledge of His people. Why is there grace unto you and peace be multiplied? Because the sanctification is of the Spirit, not of man. Why is there grace unto you and peace be multiplied? Because the blood of Christ, Jesus, the Son of the living God, be sprinkled on the mercy seat, the very seat which is Christ Himself. Paul wrote the same thing over in Ephesians 1:3. He says, "Blessed be the God, the Father, and of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." You see the same words here? That we should be holy and without blame in love, or without blame before Him, in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Folks, there's a description of God right there. Our inheritance cannot be taken away from us. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and those that come to me I shall in no wise cast out." That's God's word. That's His word. That's what we just read. an inheritance that's incorruptible. I can't even get in the way of my Father's love, and I try to a lot, do you not? Do you not yourselves? Thank God for His will. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Does not our cup runneth over when we see the mercies of our Lord, the mercies that He has bestowed upon us through His Son, Christ Jesus the Lord? What a hope we have. A hope that we all have seen. A hope that was not in us before we were called by the power of God. We look back on the time before the Lord called us out of that darkness, and we see the darkness that we love so much. And we read in the Lord's Word that we will not come to the light because we love that darkness, and we say, that was me. That was me. But by His mercy and love, I'm not that way anymore. I now live for my Savior because He lives in me. I have a hope. I have a hope that rests in that very power that He is God in the flesh. The power of God keeping me from falling. It's like holding me. Holding me to Him. I heard one time a minister say, it's like a thread to the Lord. If you'll just grab a hold of that little teeny thread and hang on to that thread. I wanted to throw the radio right out of the truck at that time. Folks, if I have to hold on to it, I'm going to fall. If I have to hold on to that thread, I'm a loser. I'm a goner now. I might as well just end it. But I have a chain. A chain hooked to the most wonderful anchor there is ever to walk this earth, and that is the anchor, my Lord and Savior. That's our hope. That's the only good hope there is in the world. Everything else in the world is like that little thread. I don't know about you folks, but I can break a thread usually pretty easy unless it's made out of plastic. You get the point. Our chain is huge. And there's nothing going to break it. Because it's the right arm of God. All power in heaven and earth belong to Him. We have a hope, and we rest in that power, the very power that keeps us from falling, holding us as an anchor holds the ship in stormy waters. I don't know about you folks, but we are on all kinds of stormy waters right now. Not just in the world that goes on around us, but in our own life. The worst storm in this life right here that stands before you is the storm that works within me, the sin that works in this flesh. With the Spirit that dwells in me of our Holy Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verses 6 through 8. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Day's coming. Day's coming when we're all going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, will you be on the right or the left? Will you be on the side that hears these words, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because you would not rest in our Savior? Or will you be on the side that says, come, thou faithful servant? The Apostle Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 12:5, of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now we don't know what that thorn is, but if you're a child of God, you've got one. You've got one. We all have one to remind us that we are of the flesh and we need a Savior. Not just once, but every minute of every day. Right now. Lest I should be exalted above measure, Paul goes on to write, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he, our great and wise God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul goes on to say, my most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now go over to verse 18, will you? For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Why? Why? For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man is as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but, the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, verse 1 of chapter 2, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, put all that stuff away from the world. Now you might think that this is only talking about evil speaking towards our neighbors and our those things, but this is talking about evil speaking such as, God has tried to save you. That's an evil speaking. That's an absolute lie. God has never tried to do anything. You understand the point I'm making here? These points that it's telling us here of all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and all of envies and all evil speakings are things against our Lord. Those are the things of sin against our Lord. Put those away. And as newborn babes, soak up the milk. Put all that other stuff out of your mind, put it away, and look to Christ. That's as simple as it gets right there. As newborn babes, desire the milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, if so ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Folks, what is your desire? What do you desire? To be rich? To be popular? What is your need? What needs have you this morning? Strength? Strength to walk the path the Lord has laid before us? I can tell you this, that if you lean on Jesus Christ, you'll have all the strength you need. He'll never give us more than we can handle. All that the Father giveth me, he says, shall come to me. But there's more to it than just that. And whosoever cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. Come to the Lord Jesus. Not just once, but every moment of every day. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.